guys, another episode of The Wrap. And if I'm not
32
ish, 3 ish, we're not really sure. I forgot to check before we started. Correct in this, this is our first wrap post Thanksgiving. Now, I know we had one show after Thanksgiving, but we had already filmed that pre Thanksgiving.
And we hadn't had Thanksgiving yet.
We hadn't. All right. And so your Thanksgiving went okay?
Yes. Yeah.
My Thanksgiving went okay. We hope your Thanksgiving went okay as well, too. Now, you tell me, what is, like, the have-to-have at Thanksgiving time for you personally? Like, I need to have this or my Thanksgiving is not complete.
Deviled eggs. I love deviled eggs, and that's the only time I get them.
I absolutely hate deviled eggs.
Really? I'm sorry. We'll pray for you now.
Yes.
Yeah.
My brother loves deviled eggs, and my kids mostly like deviled eggs. I think all three of them like deviled eggs. But man, there's something about those things I just can't do. In fact, my mom made them growing up all the time, because like I said, my brother loved them, and I think most of my family does. But I would just scoop out the nasty stuff in the middle and just eat like the egg white.
Just the egg?
Yeah. I don't know. I was weird like that. Deviled eggs. Amanda hates them.
I'm glad that solidarity.
Amanda and I are together. That would be the low part of my list. The top of my list, though, is stuffing.
And you know what? I kind of take that one for granted.
But you would think you would take it for granted. Guess what I did not have for Thanksgiving this year?
No stuffing.
No stuffing. My mom made...
You need to go back and try it again this weekend.
I know. Just somebody make me stuffing, all right? For you, those who are listening, if you would be so wonderful and awesome, bring stuffing for me. Yeah, my mom did like a non-traditional Thanksgiving. She's always worried that like we're going to eat too much Thanksgiving. I was like, can you do that? Because usually she makes...
Last year we had lasagna for Thanksgiving.
That would have been really good. Right? Yeah, we had like little hot ham and cheese sandwiches.
Oh, I love those things.
And I'm trying to think.
The mustard like dressing?
Yeah. I can't remember what else we had, but we had no stuffing whatsoever. Oh, we had like, I think potato salad maybe, okay. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really non-traditional. and no stuffing. And then we go to Crystal's family's Thanksgiving, and we usually have like some massive spread, sweet potatoes, ham, turkey, all that stuff. Have it all. I mean, everything you can think of. Green bean casserole, which I think is right down
like
there with. I hate it.
Casserole.
Sorry. I hope I'm not offending anybody, and this really has no value whatsoever with what we're talking about today.
This is our topic.
But this is important, guys. This is really important Thanksgiving dinner. Green bean casserole is black to me. It's right there with deviled eggs. I don't care. Yeah. Anyways, it's all there. No stuffing. So I strike out, guys. Yeah. I strike out on stuffing for Thanksgiving.
You would like, my mom makes what she calls pan chicken.
Uh-huh.
And it is stuffing with chicken in it.
Uh-huh.
Just baked like a casserole.
Yeah.
And that's...
I think that's very much how most of the time I eat it is something very similar to
with
that.
With big chunks of chicken?
Yeah. Or like, kind of strips. My
grandma makes oyster dressing.
Yeah.
It's a little slimy.
Yeah.
But it's good. I like it.
No, thanks. No, thanks. I wouldn't really need that. But anyways, back to the wrap for today as we've... Can you tell I'm kind of starting to verge on hunger again for the day?
We're a little bit later.
A little bit later than we usually film, so getting a little hungry for some food. But let us get back to the topic du jour.
Yes.
That's fancy words for of the day. All right, topic du jour.
Fancy for do your work.
We started.
Not Dijon,
du jour.
Okay.
Du jour. Not Christian Dior either. Let's go. Du jour. Anyways, we started a new series.
Yes.
We're in our Christmas series now as of this past Sunday that we are calling Behold. All right. Behold the series. Yeah. No, Behold the Savior Comes.
Yes.
Behold could also be translated Look, See. And so we started this past Sunday and we began in a sort of natural and unnatural place in the Bible. Most people think that, hey, when we're talking about Jesus' birth, we automatically start in the New Testament, and more specifically, we start in the Gospels, because that's where all the action is.
Yeah.
But we understand that Jesus' birth and the prediction of a Messiah, a Savior, comes all the way back in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
In fact, it comes even...
Hundreds of years before.
700 years, to be specific. But I believe, actually, and many people believe, that it happens even well before what we're going to talk about today, that the gospel really shows up even in Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. But what we're going to talk about today and what we're going to kind of center our attention and our focus is in the book of Isaiah. And there's so much in the book of Isaiah that talks about this Messiah. There are so many messianic passages in Isaiah. And one of those comes in Isaiah chapter 7. And so that's what we focused on last Sunday. And specifically, we focused on this line. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, "All right, then. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look." That's the word behold. They've translated the New Living Translation as look, but it's behold. "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And I just want to talk a little bit about this concept because there's, I mean, we could spend a whole episode talking about, sometimes when we read this in Isaiah 7, we don't consider the context.
Right.
And what's happening in the context is that the king of Judah at the time, his name is Ahaz, is a really stubborn, obstinate, prideful man. Do we know anybody like that? I mean, do you
no.
not know nobody like no. that? Hint, hint, that's all of us at some yeah. point, right? He is very stubborn, and he has no ability to be able to trust in and obey God and what God is calling him to. And so what Isaiah does in all of that, and his and Ahaz's inability to obey God, is that Isaiah says, all right, verse 14, all right then. Because basically he comes to Ahaz, and you remember, he says, okay, fine, I'm going to stoop to your level. I'll give you a sign that will prove that I'm going to be with you, that things will be fine. You don't have to worry about all these enemy armies around you. I will take care of you. I'll give you a sign. You choose what it is. It can be as high as heaven, or it can be as far low as the depths of hell. And what does Ahaz say? Do you remember?
Nah,
no thanks. What'd I say?
It'd be like Aladdin when he rubbed the lamp, and the genie's like, "What do you want?" He's like, "Nah, never mind."
I liken it to this. I liken it. This is a point in the story where God gives Ahaz the divine debit card.
Yeah.
Go spend whatever you want.
The blank check, right?
Yeah, the blank check. All right, thank you. It's silly, it's foolish. And so that's when he steps in verse 14 here and says, fine, okay, you've exhausted my patience, you've exhausted God's patience, here's the sign. And he gives this whole prophecy that we understand ultimately being fulfilled in Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 1 says this, you know, when Mary is found to be pregnant with Jesus, he says this fulfills the sign of Isaiah 7:14.
Right.
That's the ultimate fulfillment of it. But I just want to kind of step back a little bit and look at this concept and this phrase of God with us. Mm. And what does that mean? And how does that speak into our world today, do you think? What do you feel?
I feel like that God with us, that to me, that connotates the divine being present with us in all things.
Yeah.
Like, right? It's not, you know, God somewhere up in heaven far away. It's him with us, walking with us, and being very near.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just shows his love for his creation, right? That he didn't just create it and then just leave us off to our own.
Yep.
Right? He's promised to be with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Consider the world that we live in today and the times that we live in, the things that we're dealing with right now presently. How does that speak so in such a relevant way what we're dealing with today?
Just the loneliness that people feel, you know, and the hopelessness that people feel can all be, if they would just realize that God's present, right? Like, they've got somebody that they can turn to.
Yeah, that if God is present or that God can be present in your isolation,
right?
In the fracturedness of culture today, we have a God
who's not running scared.
We have a God who's willing to enter into everything that we're going through.
The messy parts.
And again, it's not that we're just making this up. This has already happened.
Yeah.
It happened at Jesus' birth. God himself coming to this world to be enfleshed, to be among us, to be with
us,
to be one of us, to know us completely, all right? So we think often like, oh, well, God really doesn't get what I'm going. No. God knows perfectly well what you're going through. There's nothing that you're ever going to go through in your life that God did not experience. Scripture tells us very clearly he became like one of us to know us, and he knew us in every possible way except for sin. But he knows trials, he knows temptation, he knows dejection, he knows rejection, he has all these emotions that we go through in life. Yeah. He knows isolation, he knows loneliness, he knows all those things.
Yeah. Isn't that what you find is our biggest enemy? Is when we feel like
we're the only one.
We're the only one that has nobody, ever gone through.
Nobody has ever felt like this before. Nobody has ever had this unique situation. Yeah. And I do admit that there are some.
And do you think maybe that's what Ahaz was thinking when God offered him this opportunity of, hey, I'm going to be with you? And Ahaz, you think there's any part of Ahaz was like, you don't even know what I'm going through, God?
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? I think very really truly as well too. Like we kind of pick on Ahaz, and rightly so. He's kind of a bonehead, but but at the same time, you have to understand the situation that he's in and the pressures that he's feeling from without and within both too. And he's just like, I'm at a loss, and I can't imagine, God, how you would be able to be with me in this hopelessly impossible situation.
Yeah.
And I think we do the same thing today, as it's like, this is, my situation is so unique, nobody's ever experienced this, there's no way that God could ever fix this. And what God says all over Scripture, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. But what it takes from us is to be able to trust that. And that is a huge word.
Yeah.
We don't trust well.
Well, trusting in something that we can't physically see with our own eyes.
Nope.
And for us, that's hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shoot, I have trouble trusting things I can see, let alone things I can't.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and again, that speaks into our world today. We are a very non-trusting people for very good reason, because we don't have many trustworthy people that we can look to.
We've all been hurt and burned before.
But therein lies the whole key of everything. It seems cruel, but it's set up to be that way.
Yeah.
This world is never going to satisfy. It's never going to be able to fulfill. It's never going to be able to ultimately hold the weight of what you need in life. It was never designed to do so. No, it was never designed to do so. We were never designed to trust in ourselves and to trust in other things. Everything in this world will collapse under our trust. The only thing that will hold that weight is Christ Himself. That we trust in. But we have such a hard time trusting in things, and our trust has been broken so many times that when it comes to us finally turning to God, I don't know. I don't know if I can fully do that. And we have to have the expectation. That's the other part of this as well. And it's such a big part of Christmas and why we celebrate Christmas is this concept of expectation.
Yeah.
That's why we get all happy and cheery. Some of us, not all of us. It's not a happy, cheery holiday for everybody, but for a lot of people, happy and cheery because there's something to look forward to. And again, I've said this before, if you've noticed, and I think maybe a lot of you have noticed as well too, as you drive around your neighborhoods, like Christmas lights were up like 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. That never happens. The magic mark for most people is like after Thanksgiving we'll start doing this stuff. And I know some people who are still purists and they'll do that, but for a lot of people this year, like, we just need something.
Yeah,
we need something to look forward to and something to kind of just lighten the day for us. And so that's why you see people putting up trees 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. And
we put ours way earlier than we normally do.
Yeah, way earlier. And it's just that we are...
Christmas lights, though. What? Still haven't put my Christmas lights outside yet.
Christmas lights, man.
We look like such Grinches. Like, it's decorated
in our house.
Yeah. So I changed my driveway light to green, just to be festive.
I like it.
Yeah,
that's a good play. Good play there. But the thing about it is, we have to expect, and this is where it is to put trust and expectation together, is so difficult for us because again, we don't want to be let down again.
Yeah.
And so when we hope in God and we expect things out of God, we feel like it won't happen. My dreams be crushed again.
Yeah.
And this is the difficult thing we understand about God too, is God doesn't always work in our time. Mm-hmm. He works on His own time. And so sometimes we have to wait.
Sometimes when we feel like we've been let down, it's our expectations that have not been met.
Yeah.
Right?
It's our own expectations, not the expectations that God says we should have of Him. But whatever God promises to do, He will do. He will make it happen. And I think that we just need to hear that in our world today, that God is the only true thing that we can place and throw all of our trust and all of our expectation on. Again, that's why I love to come back constantly to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. And He, not we, He will make your path straight. And just like I said, I think it's just really so much of what we need to hear right now. I think what we also need to hear as well, too, in this is sometimes we just use the phrase God is with us flippantly. Mm-hmm. Like we almost use that as like some sort of a magic card.
It's a little catchphrase.
Yeah, a catchphrase and a magic card. And here's the truth, and this is, again, a little bit of a deeper dive on Isaiah 7, is the truth is that sometimes, especially in the Old Testament times, people understood that God's presence didn't always mean good things.
You mean like, you know, when you were a kid and you knew punishment was coming?
Oh, yeah.
And mom or dad walked in the room.
Their presence did not mean,
mom
and dad are here. Yeah. And then, oh, no. Yeah. That's sort of the double-edged sword that lies here. And this is so very important because I think that we miss this so often. Is that there's a massive difference between being around Christ mm-hmm. and being in Christ.
Yeah.
Being saved by Christ, placing your faith and trust in Christ. And it's so difficult to hear this for some people, but I feel like it's so unloving to not say it, is that if you are not in Christ, the term God with us just doesn't have the same punch.
Yeah.
God cares about His creation. He cares about humanity, but He's deeply invested in those who place their faith and their trust in Him.
Yeah.
And so for people who do not believe in God and are resistant to God.
You don't have that true hope.
Do what?
You don't have that true
hope. No, you're lacking that punch is what I call it.
God's still faithful, but you're not.
And that's kind of what Isaiah is doing here with Ahaz. Is he saying, God is with us.
Yeah.
For those who are going to be faithful and put their trust in God, God is with us. I don't know about you, Ahaz, and where you're at and what you're doing, but God is with us. You know, and like again, God just so desperately cares for His creation and humanity, but He's deeply invested in those who follow Him in obedience and trust. And so I think that it's so unloving for us to try to say, well, just generally God is with us, you know, God's going to take care of. No, here's the thing. If you are in Christ, you have placed your faith in Christ and your trust in Christ, this phrase means everything in the world.
Yeah.
God with us. If you are remaining resistant and disobedient and obstinate and willfully rejecting God this is not a comforting phrase.
I like to look at it as, you know, we've all been given a place at the banquet table. But we choose whether we sit at it.
Yeah. Right?
Like we can step back and beg crumbs.
Yeah.
Or we can actually join Him at the banquet table, right? Like,
yep.
We've got that choice. And I think that's sometimes what's not communicated well.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I mean, God is good.
That's a big theme in the New Testament, where there are stories where the master of ceremonies mm-hmm. and the person who is putting on this banquet says, go out and call these people into the banquet. And what do the people do who you expect to show up to it?
I'm busy.
I got stuff to do. And like, I've got things to check on and look over. And it says the master gets furious.
Yeah.
And so he says, all the people who recognize their poverty of spirit, and in their humility, the people who no one else would look at, the people who no one else would invite to a banquet, those are the people that I want here.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good call to us, man. Like, just humble yourself before God.
Yeah. Yeah, to trust in somebody else takes humility.
It does.
Right?
To give up control, to give up our trust, to give up our expectations to someone, and to say, now you got to meet these expectations. It takes a lot of humility.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, like I said, and what Isaiah 7 is trying to say, what we'll talk about in the rest of our Christmas series, is that God shows up consistently.
Yeah.
Is faithful in every situation.
I think that's why you see so many prophecies in the Bible. Mm. Because then at every point, his people can look back and say, well, he promised this and this happened.
Did that.
He promised this and it happened, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, hundreds of prophecies.
And
that
so
have all been fulfilled.
And so why would we sit here today? Because we understand that not everything has been fulfilled yet.
Right.
It's like, well, but like, look at all this stuff that was fulfilled in his first coming. We know he's coming again. Everything will finally be finished in that moment right there.
Right.
So, but like I said, I think that this is such a great place to start and a great place for us to focus is that God is with us.
Yeah.
And the meaning that has, the impact that has, the punch that has in our world today when it feels like we've kind of been socked in the gut and the wind's been taken out of our sails, that I think this really is the true magic and meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
This, a God who is with us, who knows us, who wants to be with us.
Yeah.
And that is the hope, that is the joy of Christmas. And so we're excited to continue on over the next few weeks talking about Christmas.
Yeah.
And about a Savior who has come for us. And so we hope that you continue to join us, not only with our wrap episodes, but check out each week's sermon that goes along with this as well. And as always, we thank you for being with us, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.